moment. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Keep your eyes on the field that is being reaped and follow behind them. I have ordered the young men not to bother you. If you get thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." Then she fell prostrate with her face to the ground and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me when I am a foreigner?" Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told me, how you left your father and your mother and your native land and came to a people you did not know before. May the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Then she said, "May I continue to find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, even though I am not one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some of this bread and dip your morsel in the sour wine." So she sat beside the reapers and he heaped up for her some parched grain. She ate until she was satisfied and she had some left over. When she got up to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, "Let her glean even among the standing sheaves, and do not reproach her. You must also pull out some handfuls for her from the bundles and leave them for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She picked it up and came into the town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she'd gleaned. Then she took out and gave her what was left over after she herself had been satisfied. Her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law with whom she'd worked, saying, "The name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz." Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a relative of ours, one of our nearest kin." Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is better, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, otherwise someone might bother you in another field." So she stayed close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. This is the word of the Lord. Who were your role models when you were a child? Were there any characters in books or television shows or movies that you loved and wanted to be like? One of my favorites was Nancy Drew. My parents gave me my first Nancy Drew book, and then I was off reading as many books in the series as possible. There was a lot to love about Nancy Drew. She was smart. She solved mysteries with her best friends, Bess and George. She had red hair. She drove a convertible, and she traveled all over the world. Nancy Drew was a great role model. And even though my sisters and I were steeped in the church and in scripture, it never occurred to me that there might also be biblical women role models. At the time, it seemed like there just weren't enough women in scripture. I know now that that's not true, but that's what I thought at the time. Karen Gonzalez's problem finding female role models was different and much harder. Gonzalez is a Guatemalan immigrant who came to the U.S. with her family as a child. She found no role models in American pop culture in the 80s and 90s. There were no popular female characters who looked like her or sounded like her. Everyone was white, and their lifestyles were completely foreign to an immigrant child from Guatemala. That was also how she experienced evangelical Christianity in the United States. It was for white people and by white people. It wasn't until Gonzalez went to seminary that she began to read the Bible differently. One time, Gonzalez was writing a sermon on Ruth. She wrote, "I was intensely studying the book as well as reading biblical commentaries. It was then that I recognized something I had often overlooked in the story of Ruth. She was an immigrant from the despised Moabite community. As a person from the ancient Near East, she would have probably also had brown skin, dark eyes, and black hair." Gonzalez saw herself in Ruth, writing, "We are both dark-skinned immigrants welcomed into the community of God. Indeed, it's likely that most of the Bible women I'd come to know through the years were dark-skinned women." Representation is important. Karen Gonzalez, an immigrant, finally found a role model and saw herself represented in the story of another immigrant, Ruth. There's so much that we don't know about Ruth. Why was she willing to leave Moab and to go with her mother-in-law to Israel? What was her family of origin like? Were they estranged? Were they impoverished and unable to take Ruth in after her husband's death? Or was Ruth's loyalty to Naomi a spiritual decision? Did she meet God in and through her in-laws and decide to stick with Naomi and with her God no matter what? We don't know these things. But one thing we do know about Ruth, the one thing that the storyteller will not let us forget, is that Ruth was from Moab. She was a Moabite, an enemy and a foreigner. Jewish people would not worship with Moabites because they were considered unclean. Supposedly, the Moabite people descended from an incestuous relationship. Ruth was therefore an outsider in Israel, an other. Sadly, we live in a nation that is othering people as quickly as possible right now, arresting and deporting brown-skinned people, ignoring their legal status, their countries of origin, their family responsibilities, and their contributions to their communities. On the 4th of July, my neighbors had a family party, a barbecue. They played Mexican music for hours, and it reminded me of California, of living in close proximity to Latino people. The food smelled great, and they were obviously having a lot of fun, and I was a little worried for them because it also felt dangerous to advertise their culture in this time and place, which is heartbreaking to admit in this nation largely composed of immigrants. Ruth had nowhere to hide. It seemed like everyone in Bethlehem knew who she was, and they knew where she was from. Naomi and Ruth arrived in Bethlehem with nothing. In order to support them, Ruth offered to glean in the barley fields. As the barley was harvested, she planned to go along behind the field workers, picking up what was left. Jewish law forbade landowners from stripping the fields completely when harvesting their crops. They had to leave grain along the edges of the field for those with no land, the widows, the orphans, the poor, and the resident aliens. So Ruth, as was her right, gleaned in the fields, working long and hard. She attracted the attention of the field hands and eventually from the field's owner, Boaz. In chapter 1, we learned that Ruth was a woman of chesed. She was filled with loving kindness, as God is filled with loving kindness. In chapter 2, we learn that Boaz, the field's owner, was also filled with chesed. He was a man of loving kindness. And that loving kindness was drawn out most especially in this story because of an age-old problem, the physical vulnerability of a woman alone. Boaz offered to protect Ruth. He told his male field hands to leave her alone. He advised her to stick close to his young women, and then he offered her hospitality. He shared his lunch with her. And in doing so, he made her an honorary member of his clan. This is an awkward and uncomfortable part of the story in Ruth. It was unsafe for Ruth to be alone in the world without a man's protection. She was a woman and a foreigner, a double whammy. She and Naomi had no income and no means of survival except the food that Ruth could collect in the barley field. For all these reasons, Ruth and Naomi were incredibly vulnerable. It's uncomfortable, but it also rings true, both then and now. In spite of the danger, Ruth had no choice except this hard physical labor to support herself and her mother-in-law. And many immigrants still find themselves in this position. In June 2021, National Public Radio told the story of Jennifer Rocha, who was a recent graduate of the University of California at San Diego. Rocha took her graduation photos with her parents in the fields in Coachella, California, where they work as farm laborers. She posted the pictures online and they went viral. Her parents are Mexican immigrant farm workers who work year-round planting and harvesting fruits and vegetables. They have three daughters who all have college degrees now because their parents took them into the fields to work with them when they were in high school. They wanted their daughters to understand the value of an education, and so the girls juggled school and sports and farm labor, and they all managed to graduate with college degrees. In one of her graduation pictures, Jennifer Rocha is wearing her cap and gown, walking between her parents down a dirt path in a field of green peppers. She said, "The whole reason I wanted to go back to the fields with my parents is because I wouldn't have the degree and the diploma if it wasn't for them. They sacrificed their backs, their sweat, their early mornings, late afternoons, working cold winters, hot summers, just to give me and my sisters an education." Ruth was a farm worker, a female farm worker, a foreign female farm worker, subject to all the hardships, the deprivations, and the indignities that went along with those roles. She worked long hours in Boaz's barley field, and she collected a huge amount of barley, an ephah, the text says, which is around 29 pounds of grain, or 2 weeks' wages. As hard as Ruth worked, she could not have done this without Boaz's help. He instructed his field hands to leave extra barley behind for her, even to take some sheaves out of the bundles and leave them on the ground for her to find. Naomi was overjoyed to see the results of Ruth's hard work, and even happier to learn that it was Boaz who helped her. Because Boaz was a relative of her husband's, he was a kinsman. And Naomi saw that Boaz was safe for Ruth, that he would protect and guard her. And it's possible that Naomi also saw the possibility of a match between these two. In spite of the differences between Ruth and Boaz, differences of nationality and religion, of history and culture, they shared a God-given quality. Each one of them had the gift of chesed, or loving kindness, that they extended to others. The story could have gone so differently if Ruth was a different sort of daughter-in-law or if Boaz was a different sort of landowner. God used each one of them to offer redemption, Ruth to Naomi and Boaz to Ruth. I told you last week that Ruth is a parable, like the parables that Jesus told. Parables are short stories meant to teach us something about the kingdom of God. So what does Ruth, this foreigner, this stranger, teach us about God's kingdom and God's loving kindness? Is it possible that then, as now, God loved Ruth and every other foreigner so much that God used them to do God's work in the world? Which then begs the question, how do we love the foreigners in our midst, especially in this painful time? Amen.
So, contrary to what it might look like, this is not special music. This is, we are a group that has, that's helping out to all of us can learn this hymn that we're singing next on 849, which we will sing in Korean to start with. Yay. Not. But it's a little.